Merry meet. My name is Ariel, and this is
A Witch's Primer.
Basic training in non-denominational witchcraft. Join in the discussion at thedcw.999.org. That's thedcw.999.org. Blessed be. Welcome back, and I'm so happy to be here. Just a reminder, if you have questions that you want me to take on the air, so to speak, go ahead and either email them to me directly at ariel@thedcw.org, or you can send me a PM through the discussion forums, and those are located at thedcw.999.org. And people wonder why I don't do shout outs and things like that. This particular podcast, I don't like to do anything but just get right on into the lessons. This is a purely educational podcast. It's not at all. We don't do music or anything like that. But if you want to hear all about the other podcasts that I listen to and all that stuff, just listen to the DCW podcast. You can find that on iTunes, Ariel's DCW Lectures, or at our website, and that's at thedcw.org/Ariel. So anyway, let's get right into some of these questions. Okay, Sir Laratan. Ooh, Sir Laratan. Well, welcome, sir. seems like a very nice person. I'm just being kind of silly. Has a question. First question is, I always was drawn to magic, but every time I start to study a certain path, it always goes good for a certain week. But then it's like what drew me to that path goes away. So I try to stick with it, but I can't. It's like I lose my passion and desire for doing it. And even though I have been able to stick with your class, I worry the same will happen. Do you have any idea how I can stop that from happening? Sorry, the question was so long. Oh, that wasn't a very long question. Some of these questions go on for pages. Well, there's a couple things that I might say about that. First of all, is there's nothing wrong with quitting something if you decide that it no longer serves you. Sometimes we do need to just go from thing to thing to thing for a while. Something draws us to a certain path, and but the rest of the path is just not our cup of tea. So we get what we like out of that, and then we move on. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a definitely a validity to that. However, if you notice that your issue is not so much that, but that you tend to be a bit of a dabbler, and you never really are able to gain any mastery on any particular path, I understand. You may want to look into what your own personal patterns are around completion. And a lot of times there's a deep underlying issue that needs to be uncovered with the whole concept of completion. And I know I used to have that as well. Mine, it seems kind of funny, but I uncovered that I was scared of completion just because of some of the, there was some this stuff that went on in my childhood. And this is another reason why I love to recommend that people get some kind of psychotherapy, especially when they're doing magic. There were some things that happened in my childhood that made me feel, on some level, I made a decision that if I were to follow something through, I would ultimately be hurt or maybe even annihilated. I had made those decisions based on some real deep stuff that had gone on in my childhood. And I worked through that. I had to really work through that and say, you know, convince myself that it's okay to follow through. It's okay to feel complete about something. It's all right for me not to always be starting something, that it's all right for me to move through the rest of the phases of a project besides just starting something. And once I was able to do that, that took me several years, actually. I was able to have much more success in many, many areas of my life. And magic played a huge part in that. I created a lot of rituals and spells around the whole concept of completion. But again, it wasn't just so much I command myself to complete projects, because that's not what needed to be done. It was more of a discovery as to what are my obstacles, what is it that stands in my way of completing. And those rituals were more of rituals of self-discovery, so that when I was able to bring certain things up to the surface and say, oh, I get it, this is one of the reasons why I'm so afraid of completing things, then I was able to redefine or reframe or re-script the whole thing so that I could do it in a new way. Now, on the DCW Meditations podcast, which I have not updated in, you know, 17 years, there is a good meditation that is something that I have used that deals with just that reframing. And ooh, I wish I could remember what it was called. You know what? If you give me a second here, I'll look it up. I hate to waste all this airtime, but it is a good meditation. Let's see. It's coming up. Here it is. Oh my God. It's called Resolving Inner Conflict. Oh, it's the last one. It's the most recent one. Back in February, I did an actual meditation on this podcast. I have got to update that darn podcast. Okay, so you might want to once you've uncovered those issues, you might want to try that meditation. You might find that it's helpful for you. I know it was for me. All right, so here's some other questions. Thank you for asking those. Please keep the questions coming. Everybody really benefits from this stuff, myself included. All right, this one is from Thy Godlin, who's a male. Thank you for telling me that you're a male. he says, you seem cheerful. Oh, thank you. I hope I do. I try to be, but that's not your question, is it? I have some questions and would welcome your views if your schedule allows you to answer them. Okay, let's see. In one of your Witch's Primer podcasts, you talked about a witch's... Oh, you know what? We already did this one last time. You know what? We already covered this. Never mind. Okay, this was last... Sometimes my brain. Okay, here's another one. This one is from Onawa, and he has four questions. Male. Lots of guys asking questions. Here we go, guys. Number one, I believe that tools with a personal connection should be stronger than tools with no meaning or personal connection, i.e. a wand from a tree that is meaningful to me would make a better wand for me, even though it is not one of the more traditional substances. In this case, it is an Osage orange tree, which was used by Native Americans in the Midwest to make bows and staffs, which is very rare in the East where I live. Okay, that's not a question, but I agree with you. Yes, we agree. Something that calls to you and speaks to you and has resonance with you, rather than something that a book says this is what you should have, is definitely much more powerful. We are in total agreement on that. Okay, number two question. Likewise, I have a stiletto dagger that was forged by my grandfather when he was a child. It is all steel, and I hesitate to paint the handle black. I think the personal power of the item as it is might trump the black handle. Your thoughts? Okay, I'm not sure how well I've covered this, but let's make sure that I do this now. The traditional specifications of the tools are just starting points. They are not rules. They are not set in stone. My blade that I used for the first, I don't know, 15 years, I guess, of my craft was an antique blade that I found that it just called to me. And I had to go, I mean, it was like, it's 20 miles south of where I live. I had happened to be in this shop and I said, oh, that's beautiful. And I actually left the shop without it. And I couldn't stop thinking about the darn thing for weeks. And I had to make another trip down there just for that blade. Luckily, they'd still had it. And it was a somewhat finished wood handle, but I wasn't going to paint it black. It was perfect the way it was. Yeah, so no, you don't have to do anything. I now have a black handled blade that I use, and I love it, but I wouldn't trade the experience that I had with my old blade for anything in the world. So you, as always, use your intuition, use your gut, use your spirit mentor, use whatever you can to find out what's true for you, what's real for you. Much more important than some rule you read in a book or heard on a podcast. Okay, third question he has is, on the dagger, my grandfather was a very devout Catholic and probably would not approve of what I'm doing with his dagger, but I was very close to him and I keep mementos of his spirit close to me. I assume in whatever afterlife he has, those definitions don't really matter any longer. Is there a danger of using this as my athame? And I love that you used the L, like Sybil, Althame. Let's see. You know, I'm not going to tell you whether you should or you shouldn't use it. Again, you need to use your gut. You could even ask him or ask your spirit mentor to ask him for you. My sense is that it's going to be okay. My I'm not a good trance medium, but I get a good sense that it's all right, that you kind of know that it's all right. And that it's not his dagger anymore, it's yours. So you can do what you want with it. And that's just my opinion. But that you may want to make peace with whether he approves of what you're doing or not now with him before you move on with it. Because what you're doing is good. If you're doing what we're teaching on this podcast, what you're doing is very good. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. There's nothing sinful or evil about what you're doing. It's a very good. It's a power for good in the world. And the more people that are doing this kind of work, the better this world is going to be. And you need to know that before in yourself, so that you don't have any kind of aching inkling within you that you're doing something wrong or bad because. You're not, all right? And I'm not here to convince you that what we're doing is good. You need to know that that is true for yourself. So you need to make peace with that anyway, because I get a slight sense from your question that since your granddad wouldn't approve of it, that somehow you're not quite convinced of it yourself. So I could be wrong, but you want to make sure that you go forward with what you're doing in the craft with a sense of beauty and purpose and relaxation and peace, enthusiasm, joy, and understanding that this is a very, very good thing. It's a very, very good thing what you're doing. All right. And then finally, what you said about light touch resonates strongly with me. I tend to look at spirituality with reverence. And as I try to learn a new spirituality, I find myself being severe in my approach to it. Determined to do it justice. I'm not sure if this is a fair question, but how do you keep from being so serious about this? Did that evolve in you, or is it a sense you have always had about the craft? There's a difference between taking something seriously and making it serious business. You know, have you ever noticed a child when they play a game? They're playing, but they're serious. It's serious that they take their game seriously. They may be playing fairy. They may be playing house. They may be playing fantasy games, and they're having fun, but they believe it. They know it. They are really true to what they're doing. And that's what we need to recapture is that we have to be able to enjoy what we're doing, have a sense of joy, have a sense of play, have a sense of open-mindedness, wonder, and love. But we're not frivolous. There's a difference between frivolity and joy. So keeping a light touch, meaning that you're not severe. Severity, your word is a great one. The severity that you're talking about can be a killer to magic, because severity and joy don't seem to coexist peacefully in the same place with one another, in my experience anyway. So there is nothing contradictory about the fact that I have a sense of play, a sense of joy, a sense of wonder, and that I love what I do, and that I always have allow myself to be enthused by the spirit that takes me when I'm working the craft. But that doesn't mean that I don't take it seriously, because I'm very, very serious about my craft. I'm very serious about my spirituality, but it's not dogma. It doesn't squeeze the life out of me. There's no lack of joy in what I'm doing. So hopefully that makes sense to you. And thank you, everybody, for those questions. Please keep them coming, because that's how we learn. That's how I learn. That's how we all learn. Okay, today we're going to be talking about building thought forms. And we've sort of touched a little bit on the building of thought forms in a previous lesson when we were talking about raising power. When you are able to go through that exercise of raising the power through the energy centers in your body, hopefully you're getting adept at doing that. If not, I would go revisit that lesson, because it wasn't just a one-off. We're coming back to it now. Those energy centers in your body are very important things to have mastery over if you are going to be able to direct that power powerfully. So what we want to do with a thought form is it's a type of spell work. When you are doing your spell casting, what we're doing with this is we're actually taking some of your psychoplasm, I think you could call it, some of your psychic energy, and we're actually physicalizing it, and we are turning it into a dense version of your spiritual energy that you've been experiencing with the raising of energy. We are focusing it into a physical location, a physicality, and programming it to do particular work for you. So there's a couple different types of thought forms. One is going to be the quickie, where you just build a thought form and you send it on its way to do its work. And you usually use that for something simple that doesn't require a lot of energy. And then there's the thought form that you work on daily for 1 to 4 weeks, and then you send it on its way to do its work. And then there's another kind of thought form, which is a permanent thought form, which you're always adding to. You're always charging it on a regular basis, and you give it a place to live in your home or at your altar or wherever. And it's like a very sophisticated life form in a way that you're charging, and you're also allowing the higher spiritual realms to charge, so that it has more of a freedom to come and go as it will, because it's there to always be there. Those kinds of thought forms are for protection of your home, protection of your person, prosperity. You know, if you want a money battery, basically, and you're always, you know, so anytime the bank balance gets low, this thought form knows, whoops, time to go out and get some more money. That kind of thing. You could have a thought form like that for joy, enthusiasm, love, all that kind of stuff. So, um, So those are the three types of thought forms, but they're all built in basically the same way to begin with. And as we go on, I'll give you in later lessons, I'll give you some other ways to work with and program the thought forms. But the basic thought form is pretty easy to build if you've been working with that raising of energy. First thing you want to do is once you've gone through that process of raising the energy through the energy centers that we've talked about, again, you've done all of the preliminaries. You've done your grounding and centering, orb of light, right? And then when you've gone through that exercise where you're opening and raising energy through your energy centers, then you're there. You're ready to do whatever you're wanting to do. And what you do then is you take your palms in front of you. You relax, right? And you start to feel the palms are facing one another. You start to feel energy building between your palms. It's usually about the size of a baseball up to the size of a basketball is usually the average. I mean, it can be different sizes, but it's usually spherical. And then what you do once you feel it, you play with it for a while. You play with the thought form for a while until you really feel like it's solid. And then once your thought form is built, then you program it with your desire, and you could have a little chant that you've a quickie chant that you've written, and if you rhyme it, it tends to program it pretty easily. And this is where it's really good to be able to have your intent be visual, or at least have a real clear sense of what you want. And while you're doing this chanting and seeing of your desire, you get the you get the indigo light coming straight out of your third eye and pouring into the ball of energy, the thought form. It's like a laser beam of that witch light, that indigo light, or you could use the Bunsen burner flame color, comes straight from your third eye point right into the thought form that's between your hands. And you program it. Once it's programmed, then it is your thought form, and from there you can feed it with energy from any of your other energy centers that you feel are appropriate. Green energy from your heart center, especially if it's for love or for money. The red energy from the root center is usually a good one to program it with, just so that it has some vitality and energy. You could make it a rainbow thought form if you really feel like you need it. You need every energy center in there, but you know it doesn't need to be. You can do one or two or three or all of your of the colors in your energy centers. But try to. If it were me, I would start off a little bit more simply. So say you wanted a thought form for. You needed a new cell phone. You needed a new cell phone, and that's what you wanted. You knew which kind it was. Maybe you had a picture of the cell phone that you wanted, and you just didn't have the cash for it. But you knew you wanted it, and you wanted it right away. You'd build the thought form. You could even take the picture and place it on your altar so that you could occasionally open your eyes to see the picture of the cell phone, and then close your eyes as you're feeding the programming the thought form with the laser beam from your third eye, that indigo color, right? And once you feel like it's there, you might be chanting a little chant. I'm not even going to come up with that chant because I don't feel like being poetic right now. But, you know, just come up with a little quickie chant, like four lines. And once that's done, then you think, what do I feel like it would be a good extra thing? Well, I know I need it like now, so I'm going to go ahead and use some red for my root chakra because I want it. I want immediate results. So you're going to use that, saying that this is going to manifest immediately. I know that it's going to cost me some money, so I'm going to put some green in from my heart center. And I know that it's all about communication. This is the reason why I want the cell phone, so I'm also going to put some blue from my throat center. See how that works? So that's all you do. Now, if you're not in a circle, and you know it's a real quickie thing, and that it's not that big of a stretch for you, then you just you tell it, okay, thought form, for the highest good of all, I want you to go out and get me my cell phone, and you send it on its way, and it'll know what to do. Okay, if you're in a circle, obviously you wait until after you've taken the circle down, because if you try to send it on its way, if your circle is any good, it'll bounce around the circle. So you don't want that. So once the circle's down, then you send it on its way. Okay, and you talk to it. You talk to it just like a friend. You know, you and make sure that you realize what you put into something is what you get back. So you treat it with you're making a little piece of yourself. So you want to be filled with love, filled with joy, filled with kindness, and have fun. And you talk to it like you'd talk to any trained pet, because it's a piece of yourself that you're saying, you're sending a piece of yourself out of there, out into the world to bring you back a result. And you just tell it, now I want you to go out, get me my cell phone, make sure that it's for the highest good of all, make sure that you get the best price, and that you bring only joy and love in your wake. And I need this by Friday. So go ahead, out you go, and you send it on its way. Now, if you're doing something for, like, say, a new car, and that's that you need a little bit more energy, then you're going to be doing this. You're going to find a little place for this thought form to live. You can be on a table. You know, it'll do what you say. It'll do what you say. It's a very, thought forms are very, very obedient creatures, especially if you realize that it's part of yourself that you're creating. It's part of your own mind that you're creating. And if you program it with love and joy, it will respond with love and joy. If you program it with fear and commanding and meanness, then that's the kind of result you'll get. What you put out is what you get back. So make sure you have a lot of fun with your thought forms, and that you give it and you feed it with love and joy, and that's what you'll get. So every day when you start feeding this, you know, car thought form, maybe you'll feed it from your heart center. Maybe you'll feed it from your navel center. I don't know what your thing will be. I mean, you have to decide. You're gonna feed it according to what you feel like the energy that is appropriate for this thought form is, and you give it a little place to live, and then you decide, well, it's time. Now go out. Maybe after, you know, 7 or 14 days of programming it, now go out and get me my car. Or some people find that if they program it right, it'll go out on their own, on its own. And they don't even have to do that. Once it knows that it's time, it'll go out and do its own thing, because you've been programming it so well. See, but what you want to do is you want to become sensitive, so that you notice your thought forms. You'll know if it's there or not. You'll know if it's gone or if it's there. It's not it's not an intellectual process. It's a real thing. This thought form is a real, real thing. So, and then like I said, the third kind of thought form is a permanent thought form, and protection is a very popular one. Protect my home, or protect my office. And that's a good one to program with all of the energy centers. And it's one to do on a regular basis. You just do it every day. And it doesn't take a long time, but you just, you know, you have a little quickie chant that you program it with every day. And you make sure that you give it a place to live somewhere in your home. And what you can do is, if you're in a circle, let's say you're in your circle, and you're programming your thought form, and you see it on your altar. Once your circle's down, you can actually pick up the thought form and bring it somewhere, and just say, okay, stay here, and make sure that everything is safe here. And that thought form will be dormant unless something happens psychically or physically. Now, I remember once that I was. At a place where there was such a thought form, and the thought form did not know me. It's sort of like a watchdog. The thought form did not know me, And it was I was it didn't know that I had permission to be in that place. And I was, it was just like, it freaked me out, you know, it was just like, you know, it was like this, it came after me. I got this sense, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And I talked and I called the woman and I said, you got some kind of critter in there. She goes, oh my gosh, I forgot. I've got my thought form. And so she said, I'll call it off. And so that's one thing you have to remember is that, if you're giving your thought form a purpose, it's not there to hurt anybody, but if you're there to, if it's there to protect, it's going to make sure, just like a watchdog, it's going to make sure that, that if anybody comes into your dwelling that's not supposed to be there, that they need to get out. And if they're at all psychically in tune, they really want to get out. So, which is a good thing, but you have to remember that if you're like having somebody come over to house sit or watch your pets or something like that, that you let the thought form know. Like bring it a picture of the person or visualize the person or at least give the person's name. This person's coming over. Everything's fine. You know, that it sounds funny, but it's true. It's true. If they're going to be house sitting for you or whatever, or coming over to water your plants or check your mail, you don't want them to feel uneasy in your house. You want them to feel good. And remember, the thought form basically is dormant unless there is danger, if it's a protection thought form. Interesting. Or a prosperity thought form. You keep it in a nice place in your home and you let it know anytime that you need to go out and get me some money, go ahead and do so. I want you to keep monitoring my finances for me. And anytime that we're running a little bit low, I want you to go out and get some more. It works. It really does. Or if your thought form thinks that you're doing okay, but you can tell it, yeah, but I want more money today. I want more money this year. I want to increase. So we want a little bit more money this year. So you need to work a little bit harder. And so it will. It'll do it. You get really good at working with these thought forms. It's quite a lot of fun. And when we start working with some more of the psychic development type work later on in the primer, you'll start, if you're not super clairvoyant yet, it's interesting because you start seeing these thought forms and they and you realize, oh my gosh, they really are real. It's not just a mental exercise. They really do exist. But remember, if you have a sense of love and if your intention is pure and if you have a joyful heart and your karma is pretty clean, your thought forms are really going to be nice creatures. You have nothing to worry about. And a lot of people, when they start working with thought forms, they're afraid that they're going to, you know, that there's going to be like the Frankenstein monster and it's going to be out of control. That doesn't happen. It really doesn't happen. The only time that I've seen that kind of thing happen is when the person programmed it to be that. Because the remember, this is a part of you, and love attracts love. So try it. Play around with the thought forms. It's a whole new world out there when you start working with thought forms, and I think you're going to have a lot of fun. Well, that's about all the time I have today. Please keep the questions coming. I love talking to you, and until next time, blessed be.